Calvary Gospel Church CIP graduation tonight. Thank you all for coming and all the family that have come to support the graduates. We had five people that were graduating tonight. Two of them could not be here, so we will go with the three that we have. Something I want to keep in mind, just want to mention, I've been remiss in thanking the church for their ongoing support of this program. This is a home missions work that you see the fruits of it every quarter when we have graduation. You know, you see these lives that are changed, and I want to thank you very much for supporting this ministry over the years. And for those of you who are in need of a blessing, give the CIP, and you will see that blessing come to fruition. Hallelujah. Now, without further ado, I want to go into the graduations. I would ask the graduates, as your name is called, please come and stand here in the front. You will be given your certificate. After all have been named, I will give you an opportunity to address the church, and we will have a picture for the CGC news taken. After that, Brother Grant will come and pray for the graduates, and after he is done praying, then you can go and sit down. So, it is my great honor to bring Daniel Capaccio before the church. Brother Daniel went through the program because he wanted to become a teacher and reach out and minister to those that are lost. Daryl Harrington. And I would like to bring up another gentleman, but I've come to have a lot of admiration and respect for everyone in the program, but also for this young man. He is a gentleman who has had problems in life, as a lot of us have. He has come to a relationship with the Lord, and unfortunately, things in our past sometimes are not resolved, and they have to be resolved. So he has to go away from his family for a while to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And he will return, but he has asked the church to continue to pray for him and Tamara, his fiance, Mr. Joshua DeMuse. To give these gentlemen an opportunity to address the church.
You hear me? Okay. It's a whole lot easier to talk one-on-one when you get in front of a big crowd and the microphone, just a little nervous at times. So I did write a little bit just in case I get stuck. So my name is Daniel. When I was a kid, they called me Danny. And as I got a little older, people wanted to shorten that, call me Dan. But my name is Daniel, and both Dan and Daniel are Hebrew names. Dan means judge or judged, and Daniel means the Lord is judge. And so if people ask me what I prefer, I usually say Daniel, because I'd rather he be the judge than me or anybody else. So I've been thinking about going through CIP. For some time, and then when Brother and Sister Brown graduated and gave their talk, it inspired me to go ahead and do it. And then Daryl and I got to talk, and we decided we'll do it together. So here we are. The lessons are they're based in the Word of God. They're based on biblical principles, and the Word of God is powerful. It changes things. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, I memorized this once. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word does work. Yeah. I've developed relationships through CIP, and I appreciate the lessons I've learned from the teachers and from other students. I've learned from the experiences they've been through, and I appreciate it very much. Relationships are important. They're important to us, and I believe God designed us that way. I think that most people don't really want to be totally or continually alone, you know, ignored or isolated from relationships with others, and I believe God doesn't either. God wants that, you know, relationship with us. In John 17, Jesus was praying for his disciples that were there at that time, but he is also praying for us. And I think he alludes to that when he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and that the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God wants a oneness with us. And I've been striving for that. I mean, I don't doubt there's a number of you that have been praying that you want to be like God, be like Jesus. Not like the way Satan was wanting to be like Jesus or be like God. You know, he wanted to do it separate from God so that he could get the glory for himself. But what I want to be one with him in character and recognizing who he is, and having the respect for him. Satan is the master of deception. He's been at it for a while. You know, you might think how come he's so good at it, but maybe how come he can be so convincing. Who were the first ones that were deceived? Who did he deceive first? And some people say Eve, but no, actually, how about all the angels? There's a third. He took a third of the angels with him, but no, not really. He didn't deceive them first. He deceived himself first. He deceived himself into thinking that he could be God himself, be equal with God, there's only one God, and only God can be God, and he's not going to share his glory with another. So, I mean, I want to be one with God, you know, unity with him, and I think he wants that with each and every one of us. Recently, Brother Grant mentioned Proverbs 29, where he read from the words that where there is no vision, the people perish. And I believe that's talking about purpose. We have a purpose. God has designed that in us. Jesus, when he was at 12 years of age, when he was left behind in the temple, and Mary and Joseph come back looking for him, frantic, not knowing where he's at, they find him in the temple, and they question him, and Jesus answered, he more or less says, don't you know that it must be about my Father's business? Here's how it's written in the King James. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist you not that it must be about my Father's business? I believe that God has a purpose for each one of us individually. And So the general purpose is seeking and saving that which is lost. I know that, a lot of you don't know all of what's going on in my life, but there's been a lot of things going on, and I believe that through those things, God is doing a work. And, we all go through stuff, but it's for his glory. If he went through a lot for us, and I'm grateful for what he has done. And so, praise be to God.
You hear me? How do you follow that? Thanks, James. Or Daniel. Thanks, Daniel. Yeah, so I'm about getting nervous. I call you James. Anyways, you know, I took this course. Me and Dan talked it over, and we both had the same ideas, and we kind of challenged one another. And I want to thank Daniel, you know, for, if anything, just to look across the table and see him there, you know. It was good to have him there. First of all, I can't say anything else without saying thank you to my God. I mean, he's incredible, and we need him so badly in our lives, and it's so important to have him in our lives. And I can remember, you know, previous CIP graduations, and I'm not picking on any one person. I can't remember the names of what they look like anymore, you know. I don't know what I look like anymore. But, you know, they get up here and they think they're Bond, they think the Hawks and all that, and never say a word about God. And I feel so sorry for them people, because to me, he didn't make the right connection. You know, if they can't talk about God after going through 20-some weeks of this program, and, you know, Daniel read some very good stuff, and like you said, it's based on Jesus, and, you know, if somebody can go that far and not remember to thank God, what happened to them along the way? Where were they, you know? It makes me feel bad, because I know these people just probably ain't going to make it, you know? They're doomed to mess up again, because they just don't seem, to me anyways, it didn't seem to get the point, you know? I know many of them started out just to get out on Sunday, but there's quite a few that came through it and enjoyed it and turned their lives around. But for those who didn't make that connection, a right connection with God, Lord help them, because they're going to be right back to what they was doing. And I just want to say, close it off here. I'm happy that my buddy John and Lynn could come and laugh at me. And I want to thank James. Where's that hog you're heading? That's right. I don't want to thank her. I didn't want to thank you anyways, Audrey. I'm just looking for your hat. You know? You're the one that looks like Doc Holliday. But anyways, it was fun, and I hope that James can use me. That's what I did it for. And I just hope in some way James can use me. I'll do anything but windows, James. So we give it off to Josh.
Well, I just want to say that I'm extremely grateful for this program and the opportunity that I had to partake in it. And it could not have happened at a better time in my life. I'm also amazed and shocked at the generosity and how amazing the people in this church are. I spent a lot of time in church when I was younger, and I never got the vibe that I get at this church. And the people here are just incredible, and it wouldn't be a church without the people that are here. You know, even though I'm going to be gone for a while, I'm definitely not going to forget the things that I've learned, and I will definitely be back.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. That's it. Give them a great big hand. God bless them. Just remain up here till after I pray. I want to pray for our graduates. When you see the people have gone through our program, quite often you need to just stop them and thank them for going through this and then the assistance that they've given other people. Got a good number of people in our church that have gone through the program. Some of them need the program. Others needed it to be able to instruct and teach others. But regardless of why you went, thank you so much. And I want to pray for our graduates. Lord, I pray right now for our graduates. I'm asking God your divine favor to rest upon them. Lord, if they have, as they have taken this curriculum and studied this and prayed about it and given their heart anew to you and found you in a deeper relationship, I pray, God, take them and use them like you have never used them before. I pray, God, your blessings upon them. Whatever they do in life, God, may they prosper, may they grow, may they compliment you and compliment the body of Christ here at Calvary Gospel Church. Again, thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's give them another big hand as they go back. All right. Brother Daniel, you brethren can be seated then. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we've changed the service up just a little bit. You may be seated. And the reason why we did this is because one of our graduates has to be back, has to leave and be back by 7 o'clock. And we certainly understand that. One thing we wanted to do before, we did not want to interrupt into this program, but could not work it in. Brother O'Neill has with him a good number of Chinese people. Now, I don't know how many we have here, but all the Chinese people, just stand up if you will. Brother O'Neill, come up here if you will, okay? Isn't this great? Yeah, so, so good to have you here. So good. Now, after our service, we'll have a cake reception for our CIP graduates. Then they're going to have their own fellowship over in the kids' Regis room. Now, don't be going over there unless you are invited. But you'll see them over there. I think the pastors are invited, you know. Just joking. All right. Hey, good to have you here. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother O'Neill.
Praise the Lord. I asked a question if anybody knew what language they would be speaking in heaven. If you want to be prepared for heaven, just by sheer numbers, you're probably going to be speaking Chinese. We're thankful that this fellowship is here. I really have little to do with it. We've been blessed to meet with Jason and Wendley probably 3 years ago, seen her father, I believe, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name 3 years ago, and they're just doing a wonderful job. I have a burden for their people, the University of Wisconsin, and reaching out in the community. So we'd just like Jason to come up real quick and say something here, introduce his group. I believe they're called Faithful City Chinese Fellowship.
Thank you all. It's really a great blessing for all of us to be here with you tonight. So with Brother George, we've been greatly blessed. And we're happy that he's been helping us in many ways. Today, we have two persons to be baptized today. Yes. So just briefly, since 3 years ago, we've been here several times. We love the service so much. We love this worship so much. Whenever we come here, our spirit is really greatly elevated, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit and go back to continue to serve. Thank you. So please just continue to pray for us, the Chinese people in Madison. We try to serve here and pray for us that God's kingdom can grow in Chinese population. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. We're going to turn this back over to other folks, but I believe there's some of these Chinese people that may come tonight to be filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you feel like God can fill someone with the Holy Ghost tonight? Just expect God to move here in a wonderful way.
Well, praise the Lord again, church. I have a message that I believe that the Lord has given to me. I'm going to be mindful of the time in this, and actually, Brother Daniel started preaching it already for me, so maybe I just kind of pick up where he's left off. I did not give some of the scriptures to the overhead operators, but nonetheless, the title of this sermon is Progressions. Everything in life is a progression. Life in itself is a progression. We are born, we age, we die. Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. What I want to talk about initially to start with is a progression of addiction. And I did have a slide presentation, but unfortunately it would not display. So I'm going to have to paint a word picture. So please stay with me. If you can imagine a line starting here and going to here. We're on the right side of this line. What happens there is we were born, we're young, we get into a point in time where it's called experimentation. Your parents have taught you whatever it was they were going to teach you. You've learned, you've seen, you've experimented, you turn 12 or 13, and your peer group becomes important to you. Your parents, all of a sudden, their IQ drops. That's just a normal process of life. It happens to us all. Some of the decisions that we make, though, we make out of ignorance. Most of the decisions we make in life, we make out of ignorance, and especially those decisions that we make as young people, because some of us, we start to experiment, you know, with alcohol, with drugs, with a lot of different things at that very young age, whatever our peer group allows us to fit into, where we fit into the group and acceptance resides. Usually during that time, not a lot of things happen. You know, some people are able to be what they call social drinkers or social users. They are the type of people that can go out and have a drink and get up and walk away, and they really don't have any problems in their life per se, other than the fact that they don't know who God is. But they go through their life. You know, and we can go through life being successes or successful failures, and there are some very successful failures in our world today. You know, they have money, they have wealth, they have fame, they have fortune, but they don't have God. You know, so what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? At any rate, as this progression moves along, a lot of different things start to happen. You know, when we first start out, it may be, if I may just use alcohol or beer as the example. You take that one beer, you drink that first beer. Your body tells you right away that shouldn't do this. It tastes nasty. It makes you gag. It makes you puke. Then the room starts spinning around. You start throwing up. Again, your body is telling you this is not good for you. But we tend not to listen. We still need to fit in. You know, there's something moving. There's something motivating us to continue to go on. And, you know, where one would do something for us, then it took two, and then three, and then six, and then 12 and 18. But we're moving along this line of progression. And, again, we're still moving along this line, and we're doing it out of ignorance. We move out of experimentation into an area that they call simply abuse, abuse of the substance. We use this substance now because it's Friday. We use this substance now because it's time to go out and party and have a good time. The longer we use these substances, the greater the reason for using the substances become. It will get to a point eventually where we use the substance simply to feel normal. But I'm jumping ahead of myself at this point. There are a lot of things that start to happen and occur. There are six life areas. There's alcohol and drug, health, legal, psychological, emotional, social setting and family, vocational, educational, and financial. These are the six life areas. Now, when you start out, you know, okay, if it's alcohol, going back to that, one life area is affected. You continue to move. Is it unreasonable to be an abuser of alcohol and get an OWI? No, not at all. You're going out party, you drink too much, police pull you over, you got an OWI. Two life errors affected. Okay? When we get to a certain point in our mid-teens, maybe early 20s, we become very secretive about what it is we do and who we do it with. We start to alienate family members, and usually home is that one safe place that it's the foundation for testing life. You know, I know my parents aren't going to kill me, at least I don't believe they will. You know, so I go out and do whatever it is, and we'll work through whatever the problem is. But nonetheless, we start becoming secretive. We start having problems. We start to alienate people around us that really care about us. Socio-family now is affected. Friends are beginning to be affected because those friends that we used to have that didn't do what we did, you know, drinking, they are living their life, quote, unquote, a normal way. We don't have time for them. They're dull. They're boring. We don't want to be around them because they just don't understand it. They are judging us. You know, it's an interesting thing about this statement. I hear it all the time. Don't judge me. I figured out what that means. Have you? What it means is I know I'm doing wrong, but I don't want you to tell me. That's what it means. But anyway, that's an aside. I want to give you some of the symptoms of the things that start to happen as this progression moves along. The further into your progression, things like there's a change in tolerance, which we talked about. There's an increase of the need of use. There's constant relief drinking. There's always a problem or a situation going on where we normally used to be able to think through it and resolve it and work it out. Now our answer is turning to the substance, so that we don't have to think, that we don't have to process, we don't have to feel, even though we fail to understand that if we feel bad, we use the substance so we don't feel bad, but the next day when we get sober, we feel bad because we use, and this vicious cycle starts all over again. And we don't understand how to stop it. We don't understand how to break it. We're not able to discuss our problems. There's feelings of guilt. We move on into blackouts, functioning in a blackout state, not knowing what we did, but nonetheless we have functioned. I remember times even in my own life when I thought my car was a horse, because I would get in it drunk, not remembering, and say home, and get up in the morning and look out to see, you know, if it was there, period. You know, by the grace of God, I made it. God has kept his hand upon us whether we are foolish or not. There are a lot of other signs and symptoms that come along with this. Physical deterioration, mind deterioration, alcohol, drugs, they do affect the mind. They kill brain cells, you know. You dumb yourself down. I used to think you had to cross the border in Arkansas for that to happen, but that's not true. Forgive me for that. But most of you that know me know that there's something not right with me, so. We will stick with that one. We progress on. We move from experimentation to abuse. The next step is suspected alcohol dependency. Those signs and symptoms that I'm talking about, the moral deterioration, physical deterioration, a decrease in alcohol tolerance. It takes less of the substance to get you high as it used to. Impaired thinking. Indefinable fears. Paranoia sets in. And, you know, a lot of times I have to ask the question, you know, are we having fun yet in doing this? This message really isn't so much for the church. The church has come to a point of understanding, and they understand the need for God. They understand what the world has done to them. But this message is more geared towards the CIP class, also for the youth, because this is the time when they're transitioning into adulthood and making those decisions on their own, independent of their parents. Paul asked the question, Why, and I'm using the New International Version text definition, writing of this. It says, why do we continue to do that which we have proven to our, no, that's, I'm sorry. That's a question, actually. Why do we continue to do to ourselves the things that we know that doesn't work? You know, we are very good at doing things that don't work. And the very things that we are good at, we refuse to do. In Romans 7:15 of New International Version, it said, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Now, I've worked with alcohol and drug addicts. I've worked with criminals for the past 20-plus years. And I haven't worked with a single one that was their desire, to be in prison, to be addicted to substances, to have lost almost every, actually to have lost everything in their lives. They have given up the ability to be accountable for themselves, along also with being responsible. And when you fail to be responsible for yourself, someone else holds you accountable. And none of us like that. And even until the day I must tell the truth, I don't like being told what to do. That's one of those carries overs from before, my old nature. But nonetheless, in that, I do what it is I'm supposed to do so that no one else has to come back and say to me, you didn't do. That's the way I address that. I don't create a fuss. I don't create a stink. I know what it is I'm supposed to do, and that alone is what I do. I take away my own problems. How many problems do you all have that you have faced the same problem repeatedly over and over and over again? And you have tried going here, going there, and doing all different types of things to try to find an answer, and the answer has not been there. You know, the part that I find the oddest thing was even for me. You know, if someone had told me when I was in the midst of my drinking and my drugging to take a football helmet, put it on sideways, put two candles in my hand and jump up and down, things would got better, I would have tried it, even though it made no sense whatsoever. It's just the truth. You know, and the one thing that had true validity, the one thing that would have changed my life was the one thing that I rejected. No one wants to be a successful failure. So why, when you have the truth that is presented to you, do you reject it? You reject it out of hand. It becomes real easy to make fun of other people and what they do. If you, you know, people worship the Lord here, they praise and they sing, and people will laugh and snicker about it. Yeah, we've been seeing it for years here through the CIP class. You know, but it's okay. You know, because the Bible says that you need to make your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, and the thing is, going back to that question about being judged, on this earth we can tell people, don't judge me, but a day is coming when we all have to stand before the white throne of judgment, and the books are going to be opened. And no word about don't judge me is going to be enough. Because when we get to that point, it's too late for any excuses. It's too late to try to turn around and correct the problems that we have created in our lives. It's too late to sit back and say, well, I want to go back and be a mother to my child, and I want to go back and be a husband and wife to my mate. I want to go back and care for my mother and father. It's too late. We have one opportunity in this life. We have one opportunity to do it right. And the only reason we have only one opportunity to do it right is because that's all you need is one. When you're doing the right thing, you got multiple opportunities to do it wrong. We have proven it to ourselves.
Excuse me.
You can discount any and everything that I've said so far tonight, and that's okay with me. You know, I'm still going to pray for you anyway. My heart still goes out and reach out to you anyway. I'm still going to try to tell you the truth so that you can save your life. But the one thing, you can deny everything that I say. You can deny everything that comes across this pulpit for the next 20 weeks. But you cannot deny your own history. Tell me that you're happy with where you came from. Tell me you're happy with the end result of the things you've gotten out of life while you're trying to achieve what it is you thought you wanted, trying to find happiness. Happiness didn't exist in that man. Happiness didn't exist in that woman. Happiness did not exist in the drugs or the drinking or anything else. True happiness comes from Jesus Christ. That is the only place you're going to find it. As usual, I have gone off of my notes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to kind of wind this down and bring it to the point. There is that natural worldly progression. There's also a progression that we deal with. And this one, you don't have to have a GED to understand what I'm talking about. And for those of you who don't know what a GED is, I see some of the confused looks. It's a GED. To figure this one out. I did that for the teachers in the audience tonight and for myself. But at any rate, sin is a progression. We're born into flesh. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So no matter how special we think we are, no matter what pedestal we try to place ourselves up on, it doesn't matter, for we all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. The Bible says it, I believe it, and there's nothing that we can do to change it. It's the truth. Are you prepared to die in your sins? I asked the question of a number of people a lot of different times, and no one says, yeah, I'm prepared to do so. Because the reality of it is they tell the truth at that point in time. No, I don't want to die in my sins, but I don't know how to do anything else. I don't know how to change. I had rather put the football helmet on my head and jump up and down with the candles in my hand and try that rather than the one thing that will work. Let me make it clear to you. The one thing that will work is a simple three-step process. Actually, it's a four-step process. Number one, you got to admit that you were wrong. You have believed a lie. Why have you believed a lie? Because Satan has deceived you. And Satan is the father of all lies. This is what he does. He lies to us. He wants to keep us separated from God. And whatever it is that he can do to cause us to stay away from the love of God and the protection of God, he will do. And unfortunately, we'll buy into it because we're lazy. We look for the easier, softer way, you know, and we're not willing to put in a little work. I mean, how much work is it really to pick up this Bible and read it? You know, turn off the Judges show for an hour a day. Pick this up and start reading because this is the manual of life. You know, it used to be a saying when I was a young man, your ages, you better ask somebody. And that meant you better ask somebody about me if you're getting ready to mess with me because I'll mess up your world. But the reality of it is we go out and do things and we haven't asked anybody. We think we know. We don't know the end result. We don't know the beginning from the ending. We don't know where we're going to go. Who here would have asked for the life that you have received? Anybody? I want to be addicted. I want to be in jail. I want to be locked up. I want to have someone treating me like I am. Oh, come on. We all know better than that. The people that we love and care about, the only ones that truly love and care about us, the ones that aren't scheming and manipulating and trying to find a way to get over on us and take advantage of us, those are the people that we choose to hang around. Those are the people that we label friends. Let me ask you this. What are they doing for you now? Because I know when I was locked up, the only ones that did anything for me was my wife, my pastor, and members of this church. They were the only ones that were there. Those people that I call friends, in reality, all they were associates. And the only thing that we had in common was doing wrong. If I wanted to do right, no, come on, I got something for you. Let's go over here and do this. They don't want to see you do right. Why? They want to use you. They want to abuse you. And then when you don't have anything, they throw you to the side and they go on off to the next person. God says that we are worth more than that. He proved it by robing himself in flesh, coming and dying on the cross for our sins so that we could find salvation in his name. Oh, my. Three things, four things. Admit that we were wrong. Come to this altar tonight. Repent of your sins. And it's not a complicated thing. Lord, forgive me because I'm a sinner. You know everything. You know me before the foundations of the earth. You knew me. You knew what I was going to do. You knew who I was going to do it with and who I was going to do it to. So there are no secrets kept from him. All you're doing is opening your heart and saying, Lord, look at me. See me for who and what I am. Take this sin away from me. Being baptized. Behind this wall is a baptismal tank. Tiffany just went down in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Being washed and made cleaner than snow. Sins are washed away. Sins washed away. This book, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the power that we don't have now to say no to the world and the people that we associate with, when we get the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling within us, no is not a problem. No. I'm not going to do it. No, I don't need to be around you. But I do have something for you. Let me share some truth with you that can change your life. Let me give you true power. Something that's going to enhance you, something that's going to undergird you, something that's going to lift you up, something that's going to build you up, not something that's going to take away everything that you got. Something that will make you a success and not a successful failure. God will do that for you. He's already done it. And all we need to do is submit ourselves to his authority and not submit ourselves to Satan. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Brother Grant.
And we would like for you to stand at this time, and we'd like for our music team to come back. You know, there's one thing that I did before I gave my heart to God. I took careful note of pastors and how they gave altar calls. I knew which ones, you know, we had evangelists that came often, like Jonathan Mackey, because he did come, but we had Johnny Wilhoit, remember, Brother Wilhoit. We had several different ones. And I knew the ones that gave good altar calls, and I knew why they were good. And I just would leave before the altar call, or I wouldn't go at all. And then I knew the ones that were a little bit relaxed about the altar call. You know, the thing about it, preaching demands response. And the thing about it is, leaving is a response. Indecision is actually a response. There's nothing that you will do in this service tonight more important than making that trip down the aisle to the front to give your heart to God. And I remember when that happened to me, and I came and gave my heart to God. You know, I sat back for weeks, months. We had ceiling tile. I knew how many ceiling tile we had in the ceiling. Anything I could do to get my mind off of what the pastor was saying. But the thing about it, when I left, you know, that was a response. And when I got in the car and drove away, I was thinking about, I turned the Lord down tonight. I actually said no, even though at the time I appeased myself with, I'm just saying nothing, but I was saying something. Now, when I look back and see the number of people over the years that have just made their way down to the altar, and you know, it gets easy once you get down front. But it is pretty tough when you're back there trying to make that decision. If you would just shut out how tough it is, it's like getting up in the morning. You give you five more minutes. It's a tough, tough thing to roll out. But once you roll out, you say, oh, yeah, I'm glad I'm out. You know, it's really good. Come down the front. You'll find out once you get down the front. It's great. You start calling on the name of the Lord, it's great. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come and seek the Lord. So as our singers begin to sing, why don't you just step out and come on down to the front. You need the Holy Ghost, come and stand over here on this side.